settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
You know, we could just go up there and hang out.
Like open the fridge and stuff, and there would already be food laid out for us with little pre-wrapped sausages and things.
Mm.
They have pre-wrapped sausages, but they don't have pre-wrapped bacon.
Well, can you blame them?
Yeah.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat, that's
yeah, kind of the wrong time of the year all year round now for a fur coat, but I digress. Welcome to Speak Out, Thursday, April 16th, 2026. And Brian Springberg, that's his intro music, will not be on the show today. Brian had a conflict, so we called in the cavalry. Boy, did we. Holy cow. I can't believe that she picked up the phone last night, number one, and number two talked to me, and number three said, heck yeah, I'll do it, Gina Swoboda. The newest candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Welcome to Speak Out.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for having me.
It's pretty amazing. I called thinking, she's just going to say no, I didn't get the signatures. You had two fewer weeks, if I remember right, to get, what, 14,000 signatures? And so you did it all in 6 weeks? How in the heck did you do it?
Yeah, thank you. It was 48 days. And we came in with 14,875 signatures, and that's a record in the state of Arizona, and I think that will stand for a while. And that's totally a God thing. Like, it's a God thing, because it shouldn't have been able to happen. Yeah.
Truly a Swoboda. Worried about the record, right? Perfect. How many did you need?
7,588.
Well, that's not over. That's not wow. I thought you needed like 14,000. You went 800 over.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I'm a little bit of an overachiever. Well, you know, they try to challenge you to get you off the ballot unless you have a big enough buffer. So you try to get the number as high as possible to make sure they don't kick you off.
Yeah, that happened with another candidate who's coming on soon named Catherine Haley. She's running for treasurer, and Catherine was she had I don't know 6,000 that were in question, and she goes, no, it was dismissed. They dropped the case against her, for the challenge against her. Yeah, she just told me that yesterday, so we're good to go. So a couple things I really want to talk about is the Office of Secretary of State. Now, a lot of people, I'm just going to throw it out there, Gina, have criticized you because you went from one race to another. Take me through that. Was it CD1 and now you're running for Secretary of State? Yeah, take me through that.
Indeed. Yeah, so I was the party chair because President Trump asked me to kind of jump in. We had a problem. We were in trouble, and there was nobody that was the chair, and we were bankrupt. So I got in the chair at the president's request, and then after we had all of the winning, and I'm not sick of the winning, and that's why I'm running, I was done, right, in December of 2024. And the president asked me to come and see him, and I went to go and see him. And then he got on stage, and he put me in the chair again. Because at that point, I would have run for Secretary of State in January of 2025. But the president asked me to stay in the chair. I'm like, okay, I'm staying in the chair. Okay. So I stayed in the chair. And then David Schweikert, who I've lived in CD1 for 31 years, and Congressman Schweikert's always been our guy. And he started talking about running for governor, and as the party chair, I begged him not to because I knew he's the only one who's been able to hold this seat. It's a swing district, CD1, right?
Mm-hmm.
I called White House Political. I'm like, can someone please call Congressman Schweikert because I need him to stay in the seat or I'm not going to be able to hold the seat. Ultimately, you know, the congressman served faithfully and well. He made his decision. He got in the governor's race. And then the seat was open for 3 weeks. And I got a call from a staffer in the White House who said, Gina, there's a candidate here that's been here for 3 hours in the lobby, and they're insisting on seeing the president, and they want to run in Arizona 1, and you need to do something. And the candidate's a person who has lost all four of their elections in Arizona 1, who I knew could not win. So I called the president, and I said, hey, sir, it's me in Arizona, and I want to come and talk to you about Arizona One. And he said, Gina, I endorse you. Okay?
Wow.
So, and then he said, go do it right now. And this is Sunday, right? And, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I have been assigned a new task by the president. So I got in. After I got in, and I was in for about, I think, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, Jay Seeley, who was running in Andy Biggs' district, right, in CD5.
Former Cardinals kicker,
left,
yeah.
Former Cardinals kicker Jay Seeley, he left CD5 because Sheriff Lamb got into CD5, and he got an endorsement from the president. And then Jay Seeley got in against me, and then 2 weeks after that, he had a dual endorsement. So here we are now. I think I would be good in Congress because I love policy and I love to debate with people, but it's not where my heart is. My heart's always been in the Secretary of State's office. I'm just, and I'm a, you know, I love the president, and he, if he asks me to do something, I'm not saying no, right?
Go ahead.
No, I got Jay Seeley in there with the dual endorsement. I'm not needed,
right?
I can go do what I want to do with all my heart. So I called, the White House again, and I said, hey, I don't want to look ungrateful for this endorsement, but you guys know I've been wanting to run for Secretary of State for a year. Is the president okay if I move back over and go do what I want to do? Because if you've got somebody in here with an endorsement, you clearly do not need me to do this thing, you know? And they said yes. The president said yes. He calls me his Arizona Queen of Election Integrity, right? So I'm honored to go back. I worked there. I left in August of 2020 when the president headhunted me out of that office, and I'm going home. That's how I look at it. So, yeah, God put this in my heart, and it's the first thing I'm doing for me in 2.5 years.
Is that to say, well, now there's a lieutenant governor that runs, you know, like Andy Biggs, if he wins the primary, would pick his candidate for lieutenant governor. Which is not done that way in Nevada. They're elected. It used to be that the line of ascension was the Secretary of State was next. Did that enter into your thoughts too, or your decision?
I do not want to be the governor ever. Oh my gosh.
Okay, remember that's that's recorded.
Yeah. Please, everybody listening.
Okay, Teddy Roosevelt.
I love the Secretary of State.
I'm just saying.
I will not form my own party. I will not make the Bull Moose Party.
Very good.
It would be the Labrador Retriever Party, but I will not do that.
That's funny.
I want to be the Secretary of State. I love that office. You know what it is, Paul? I'm like an administrative person in my head, right? That should be a nonpartisan office. What I believe in informs my ethics, right?
Yes.
But it should not inform how you treat people that are filing at the Secretary of State's office. And we have had a series of secretaries that are putting their personal political views into our elections process, and it's unacceptable. And so I will be perfectly ecstatic. I think that's what, frankly, God made me to do as an election nerd, is to just go up there and run that office in a competent, transparent way, period, full stop. That's it.
Excellent. Now, your opponent in the primary is Alexander Kolodin, correct?
Indeed.
Okay. You shared a story with me over the phone about Kolodin, and that I'm not sure that he's the man for the job, or maybe he just has a resentment that you've jumped into the race. Tell me the story about the fundraiser you were at.
Or both, yeah. So Mr. Kolodin and I, you know, I was a policy advisor at the legislature, and I have drafted election bills that Mr. Kolodin is running on. Things work differently. He's on the House side. I'm on the Senate side. At the Senate side, the bills I work on, I write. Ledge Council can edit them, but I write them, and I move them over, and then they go to the, you know, obviously my committee chair, Wendy Rogers, you know, says, Gina, let's do this, or I say, you know, Senator, can we do this, and then I draft it, we get the votes, we get it out, it goes to the House, then Kolodin adds things to it, and now he's campaigning on it, so that's fine, that is what it is, he's an elected official, but I was honored to be invited to a Mojave Reagan dinner,
right,
and Congressman Diggs spoke, and then I spoke, and I think I spoke for about 10 or 12 minutes. And then Colin got up, and I think he did like 35, 40 minutes. While, you know, Congressman Gosar's in the back of the room waiting to speak. And so there were just a lot of complaints by people. My husband and I, left. I don't need to stand there while someone's kind of railing against me for 40 minutes. So I think it's reflective of the fact that for my opponent, it's all about him. When he speaks, it sounds like an opera singer warming up because it's me.
That's funny.
You know, me. It's true. It's all true. I mean, the guy walked off the floor of the House 3 weeks ago and let 24 Republican bills die because he was irritated. And so, like, he's not a team player. And in my opinion, you cannot be in a role like Secretary of State if you cannot work with other people. He can't work with his own caucus in his own chamber. He can't work with the other chamber. He will be like Fontes from the other end of the ideological spectrum. He will be top down. Like, your Mojave recorder is tremendous. Your Mojave elections director is tremendous. You have a board of supervisors that you trust. Mojave runs Mojave elections. The secretary does not, should not, and will not while I'm the secretary. I'm there to empower our county election officials to do their job and free them up and help provide them resources. It's a partnership. It is not a top-down operation, and that's who Colin is. He's a top-down guy. He does it to every Republican bill. And I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, the voters will get to hear both of us and make their decision and then make their voices heard at the ballot box.
I got you. No filibustering today, by the way.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Didn't Adrian Fontes try to tell the counties what they can and can't do when he came out with this scheme about the no labels ballot? What was that all about?
He did. Yeah, he did. And I sued over that, right?
Yeah. Oh, you did.
That's one of the things. Yeah, and we won. And that's one of the things actually at that Lincoln dinner. Colin's like, even my opponent's taking credit for my work because I went and spoke to someone on the phone and then other people filed lawsuits. Mm-hmm. Here's how it works at AZGOP, folks. I promised donors when I got in that chair that I would not spend their money on lawsuits on elections because in previous administrations, that's what happened, right? I said, I'll spend our money on voter registration, get out the vote, okay? So I go and get RNC or outside donors to fund my litigation. I will tell anyone who's listening, it is very hard to get a big organization like the RNC to move swiftly. Clean Elections sued Adrian Fontes first. He unilaterally changed the name of the No Labels Party to the Arizona Independent Party, which is hot garbage, okay? It would have really messed us up on a ballot.
Right.
Then the Democrats got in, and then I got in as AZGOP because I'm out here, you know, arm wrestling with the RNC saying you need to pay for this, you need to do it now.
Okay.
So we won that case. It is back to being the No Labels Party, okay? It would not have been good. Let's take, for example, Juan Siscomani in CD6. We have to have that seat. It only took 68 signatures to get on the ballot against Juan, and if it had said Arizona Independent Party, we have a third of our voters in the state are independent, and a lot of people are very annoyed at Congress because they're not supporting the president. We don't need that part. We don't need that on the ballot. It needs to say No Labels so people understand, I don't know what this is or who these people are. I'm voting Republican. So, yeah, we won that suit. But, you know, Fontes has done it a lot, Paul. That's not the only
right.
one. He does it in that procedures manual. He tells your recorder can't do voter roll cleanup the way they want to because the secretary writes that manual and it has the force of law, and Fontes keeps adding things to the manual that are part of his Marxist belief system rather than just following the law.
Lydia's actually told us that, too. It's a big concern with all the counties from what I hear. Now, I want to get to a couple things because people are talking about city council races, judges' races, and that should be partisan instead of nonpartisan. I don't know how much influence the Secretary of State has on that, but it seems like it would originate with that office if there were any change made. How do you feel about that process? Or how do you feel about that change?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We actually ran that bill twice while I was working in the Senate, and Katie Hobbs has vetoed it. So, again, that's why we need to take back the executive branch.
Why is that a good idea?
Well, I'm going to talk about city council and school boards.
Okay, perfect.
The judicial branch is different, right? I don't know how I would feel if I was sitting in front of a judge and I had to know who they were. I don't know. I mean, but again, I wouldn't be sitting in front of a judge because I'm a law-abiding Republican.
Uh-huh.
However,
that might be the reason why you sit in front of a judge in the future, though. But anyway,
yeah,
you got a couple minutes to break, so go ahead.
So school boards are hugely important. It's the foundation of our country is going to be the children and the education, and it's failed. The educational system has failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's helpful when you're voting and you have 83 races on your ballot, it informs you as a voter when you know what the person's personal ideology is politically. Like, I want people who want to teach actual history. If I see R next to them, I can vote for them. Obviously, the teachers' union, such as it is, does not want that because they will lose control of the school boards.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for voters to inform themselves on every single race on the ballot when we're out there working and trying to get things done and raise our families. So it would be a clue that the person is not, in fact, I don't know, going to hang a transgender flag in the classroom and have you do an alternate, you know,
right,
pledge or some other kind of crazy nonsense. And this, I think the same on city council. We have town councils and city councils where people run and you think they're moderate and they send you a mailer and they say they're for law and order. And I'm talking about Scottsdale right now. And then they house a bunch of like illegal migrants in your local hotels in the off season.
Yeah.
And they bring homeless people into Scottsdale and then they tell the police, do not enforce the vagrancy laws. And then we had homeless people all over Old Town, downtown Scottsdale. So we unelected those people in the following cycle, but it's hard to tell when you're a voter without that party listed.
Well, you know, we had Kwesi Smith, speaking of, in the studio.
Yeah.
And you would have thought, you know, attorney, former Marine,
there
was one, preacher. He's a preacher. You would have thought he was a Republican,
wow.
But, you know, that's a trick the Democrats are doing all over the country. And you know, look at Spamberger, right? So,
100%. He's
right.
Taxing everything that moves.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to come back and talk about a couple of other things. I'll let you beat up Kaladin, you know, during a debate instead of on Speak Out. But I wanted to get your take on the Vance Peace Talks, J.D. Vance. And
right on.
Gallego's alleged involvement with Swalwell. I have really mixed feelings about this entire scenario right now. It's just so... It's like Dana Lash says, it's a hit job, you know? I mean, that's what it looks like, is a political hit job. But anyway, I digress again. We have D-backs and Toronto Blue Jays tickets for tomorrow night and for Saturday night. If you want to give us a call, you'll have to call the office, by the way. Marissa June, please stand by on the phone. 928, I knew I was going to do this. 855-9336. 928-855-9336. 9336, and just be the first caller and tell Marissa June if you want tickets to tomorrow night or Saturday night. Tomorrow night's first pitch at 6:40, Saturday at 5:10. And I know you're a baseball fan because you're indirectly related to Ron Swoboda. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back with Regina Swoboda, candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Going through living hell, and we vowed to get the ones behind Ben Laden. Have you
That's what I used to say anyway. Ain't no way I'm sitting home tonight. We got a request from the 5150 album, just anything off of that. Regina Swoboda, our guest. And you got to be cool if you like 5150, even though it's a Hagar album. You're okay by me. That's a good album.
Right on. It's a great album.
It is. I got to do some business right here, and we'll get back to politics. Broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Speak Out also brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, by Mojave Electric Cooperative. I got to pause for this harmony. Hang on. That is my favorite part of that song. You know, it just grabs you, Regina.
It does.
Or Gina. Absolutely. I'm sorry, Gina. Sorry.
That's okay. It comes from Regina. It's okay.
Okay, because I just kind of, that, you know, sometimes music just touches you in a way you kind of lose all sense of everything. And that song kind of does that for me. So, also brought to you by TWN Fiber Internet, by Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. We have about five more minutes left with Gina Swoboda. She's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State, and we're waiting for Rick Rigler, and Rick will be on after the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the Havasu Boat Show, because Rick is the president of the Marine Association here in Lake Havasu City. But, you know, a lot of people were saying that before the peace talks, this is Vance's moment. J.D. Vance, here's your moment. Dude, you know, can he pull it off?
Yeah.
And 6 hours later, you know, obviously he couldn't. So what's your take on that?
Well, I thought it was super interesting in the reporting. They said that Vance did not have, like, authorization to really negotiate. He kept leaving the table to call the president or to call Rubio.
Oh.
So that was, right, that's kind of a tell to me. Like, I see, I mean, you know, the president says he's neutral, but I see him giving Rubio a whole lot of jobs. I love the memes with Rubio in various outfits. And I think JD made, you know, the president, it's about him. It he doesn't like necessarily having JD out there with polling going on about him running while the president's trying to be the president. And I think they sent him out there because he wasn't kind of fully on board with what was going on and said, okay, JD, you're talking a big game here at the table about how you would turn it around. Go and make the peace. So I agree with you. I think JD took a hit, and you can see that in the polling.
Yeah, because, yeah, you're right. Rubio, it seems like he has a lot of leeway to do anything as Secretary of State. Maybe that's the difference.
Yep.
Maybe it's because Secretary of State is not elected and Vice President is an elected position. So,
yeah, and I mean, there was a piece in the New York Times that described what went on around the table in the Situation Room before the president made the decision, and he went to everybody around the table. JD was not there, interestingly, and Rubio basically said, according to the report, like, if we're going in to just blow up their assets, we can do that. If we're going in for long-term regime change, we shouldn't do that. We're going to get caught in a quagmire. But at the end of the day, you know, I had a boss at my nonprofit voter list group who was a West Point graduate and a captain, and he used to tell me, Gina, when you want to argue about the plan, we do that in the command tent. Once a decision's made, even if, you know, you don't like it, when we get outside the command tent, we're a united front and we're executing our orders. And Rio does that. He at that table was like, let's not do it if it's this. And then when the president gives the order as the commander-in-chief, you go out front and you're united. I don't know that JD's messaging was really 100% united behind the president. So I think he got taught a lesson.
Interesting. All right, real quick, I want to get into Gallego's alleged involvement with Swalwell in this mess. It seems like Gallego's grabbing all the headlines now from Swalwell. So what do you think? I just thought his apology was, there was something about it that says, I'm guilty too, in my opinion.
He was a basket case. Yeah, he was a basket case. If anybody hasn't seen it, go look up Gallego's press gaggle yesterday, and all these body language people are like, you know, oh wow, that's every tell you can possibly have of a guilty person. He's flying his hands around as if he's like an Italian from Queens. So, which I do, but you know. But look, I think it's actually a sad testament to the fact that the national media doesn't cover things, because everybody's known about Swalwell and that Gallego was his buddy, and Gallego had stuff he was accused of while he was here in our state legislature that never went anywhere. So the press is not interested in covering scandals on Democrats until, and you and I have chatted about this, they needed him out of the way in the gubernatorial race in California. I think, you know, Ana Paulina Luna, the representative in Congress, is determined to get the Ethics Committee to clean up both sides of the aisle with this nonsense where they pay people off with taxpayer money and cover up. And I think she was going after Swalwell, she was going after some Republicans, and it's my opinion that leadership of both parties were like, you two, the guy from Texas who, some woman who worked for him burned herself to death, God help her. And Swalwell, the Democrats wanted him out of the way. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sacrifice this corrupt guy and this corrupt guy, and then we're going to shut down the ethics investigations before we all go down. Because I think it's just so bad in the swamp that they're protecting themselves. It's a sad statement that Gallego just got elected to the Senate, and none of the people of Arizona heard anything about this until now.
Well, Gina, big surprise. Tom Steyer, his name just pops up. Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Anyway,
yeah.
I gotta let you go.
Thank you.
Rick is right across the table from me. I call him Dirk. His last name is Rigler. So, you know, anyway. Rick Rigler is here, and he's the president of the Marine Association. So, Gina, I really appreciate you doing this last minute.
Thank you.
I called thinking you were going to have this sad story for me, and turns out you're on the ballot.
Gina for SOS.com, ladies and gentlemen. I'm honored to be on the ballot. I want to represent you in Mojave and protect your elections process. It'd be an honor to serve. God bless you. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Best to Rick.
And in this case, it's Secretary of State, not the other SOS, right?
That's right. Although, we're throwing up the SOS because we need a Secretary of State.
Well, the military people know the SOS is another thing. All right. Thanks, Gina. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Again, that is Secretary of State candidate Gina Swoboda, and yes, are you a baseball fan? Go ahead. Sorry, Rick.
You betcha.
She is indirectly related. I think her husband is a family member of Ron Swoboda.
I heard that on the way over.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Anyway, you're a Van Halen fan, classic rock fan.
Of course. 80s child.
Do you know who's coming to the Blue Water?
I haven't heard yet.
Sebastian Bach.
Wow.
Right.
That'll be
so
amazing.
So I said.
That'll be amazing.
How long would it take to give away those tickets? I don't know. It's hard to say, right?
Well,
who remembers?
Hot second. I'd be there for sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it for sure. All right. We'll be back with more on the show. We're going to talk about, which year is it now?
The 35th.
35,
yeah.
Wow. 35th annual Havasu Boat Show. And if you're in the market for a boat, well, Rick will tell you everything you need to know. I don't have that elevator speech memorized. So back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. And this is the last show before the series with the Toronto Blue Jays. So I'll have Marissa June stand by because we're going to give away the last pair of tickets for, I believe it's for tomorrow night. She didn't write what day. I think the tickets that are available are for tomorrow night. She's going to come back here in a second, smack me and go, that's just, you know, anyway. But it does it. Let's see. It looks like Shannon or Sheena. Sheena won the tickets in the last break. So give us a call. It's 928-855-9336. 928-855-9336. Let's go out with some Eddie. Is that a good choice?
Crank it up, absolutely, always.
Back with more in a moment.
Can't go wrong.
Stay with us. Rick Rigler is up next. It's always here now, my friend. It ain't once upon a time. It's all over, but the shouting. I come to take what's mine. I thought the intro was sooner. Sorry about that, Rick.
All good, my friend.
That's low budget if you don't recognize the beat, but it comes in pretty strong. Ray Davies, is he still alive?
The good old days. I'm not sure. I haven't followed them that closely.
And Chrissy Hynde had his baby, right? I'm almost positive on that one.
Didn't Chrissy Hynde have your baby?
No. Don't even go. No. Oh, God, no. No, I love Chrissy Hynde. You know she used to hang with the Sex Pistols, though?
I didn't know that.
It's a series I was watching on Hulu. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. She was one of the American girls just hanging with them. So this is your anthem this weekend, all right? Ready?
Let's go for it.
That's right. You're on a low budget, all right? But you make the most of it.
We absolutely
do. 35th annual boat show coming up. Let me just get through the sponsors here real quick. Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springburg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritas Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. And it's all about buying local, right? Buy local or
buy local.
You listen to the show.
Absolutely do. Love it.
That's cool. You're one of the 17 listeners then.
Well, you know, it's good stuff that comes out of this room. It's the room of brilliance.
No, it is not. That was Mark and Brian. Stop it. There's a guy named Bob Barrett, and he's been following this median situation out on Highway 95, right, very closely. And why? What triggered them and what to be built, what triggered ADOT to do the study, all that. We're going to have Bob on the show, I believe it's next Tuesday, and he's got a lot. I mean, his reasoning, the stats, the cases, the fatalities, it just doesn't add up to a what ADOT says. It's because most of the people were impaired that were the fatalities that were involved. So anyway, you guys are going to love that show, and the reason I bring it up is because I told Bob, he listens to Speak Out is where he got. He said, I want to come to you to put this out there. And I said, well, man, you are one of the 17 listeners, for sure. So I'm telling you, he's got it documented. So
I'll be tuning in.
Right. How much does it get to get into the boat show?
$10, but there's discount coupons available all over town for $3 off. Children with an adult are free. We'll be opening up the gates tomorrow at noon, and we've got a little bit of wind ahead of us, so we're just going to kind of stand by on that, and we'll ease into a beautiful weekend for Saturday and Sunday. So we're encouraging everybody to come on out and see the latest and greatest, the newest and baddest, biggest and boldest.
Really?
Get on out. Yeah.
That was the following week.
Well, it rolls right into that. Yeah. But the technology in the industry is changing so rapidly now that it boggles the mind.
I got to throw Jim Russell under the bus, though.
Go for it.
I said, hey, how much is it going to... Because I need to go to see some technical things that go on at the boat show because of the hosting duties I have with Desert Storm that we've talked about on the show. I said, how much is it to get in? He said, $10, but don't worry about it. I said, Jim, come on, man. I'm not going to cheat the Marine Association out of $10. So anyway, Jim, I threw you under the bus.
So that means you don't get shot down from the fence line?
Yeah, exactly. So tell me about those innovations that you were just alluding to.
Well, just the depth and the design of some of the big wakeboard boats that are coming out now. They flipped the stern drives around so that just creating these enormous wakes for that sport.
What do you mean the depth?
The draft, the actual part of the amount of boat that's in the water under
gotcha.
The water line.
Oh, wow.
And it's, the more mass that's being pushed under the water line creates a bigger wave for that sport.
It's like a farmer's plow almost.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. And just, when you think that you've seen the depth of them, they go and change the design, some nerd sitting in a back room somewhere going, how can I throw this water even further up in the air and create a...
Is that the beam? Is that the cross? What is that the
beam?
Width?
Well, the beam is the width measurement
gotcha.
Of the boat.
It's been so long since I had a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all nerd stuff, too.
Right. I don't have something that can tow a boat, so don't try to sell me a boat right now. Man, although I've learned to drive a boat before, I learned to drive a car. On Lake Mead, which I wouldn't try now, so.
Likewise.
Anyway, on Lake Mead?
No, it was up on Shasta.
Oh,
12 years old.
Wow, very good.
Pull my dad's skin.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice. I love that lake when it's full.
Yep.
I've seen it when it's empty, too.
Yeah, it's been a bunch of years.
It's wild.
Beautiful
so,
up there.
What manufacturers are going to be there?
Well, everybody. I mean, Nordic and Hallett here in town, Conquest here in town. Everything from, the Tritune world, from Avalon to Barletta to, you name it, they're going to be out there. Every dealer in town just about is represented. So this is, one of the dynamics about this living in Lake Havasu City is you can drive around for 2 hours and see, 20 brands of boats through 30 different dealerships. And there's just so many choices available. That's why it's nice to have it all consolidated at the boat show. Come on down, have a cold beer, enjoy some sunshine, some family fun.
And you don't have to look at the license plate to tell who's not local, because they make that right turn from the left lane. I'm just saying.
We're not going.
Did I go there?
We're not going.
Hey, that's
there.
In my opinion.
Right.
So I could say that. Our gas prices right now, obviously, they're affecting the industry, but how much? Because a lot of our boaters come from California, where it's $7 or $8 a gallon. They come here, it's $4.50, right?
Right, but if you're buying a $400,000 Tritoon with triple motors on it, I think that the price of gas is the least of your concerns.
Good point.
So, I don't want to go anywhere near any kind of a political statement, but this is temporary. You know, when I moved to this town, gas was $1.88 a gallon, and still I can't see any reason in rural Arizona that gas would ever be over $2 a gallon, and hopefully we get back there very, very soon, and everything will smooth out, and it'll be a memory. So
I got a picture from a listener who's in Texas right now, got off the plane, and gas is like $3.85 a gallon.
And they're freaking out.
No, yeah, but it's under $4 a gallon. And, like, you know, it's West Coast refineries or whatever. I call it gouging, and that this should be looked at. But anyway, are there ways to make boats more efficient in the water as far as gas consumption goes?
Again, the bigger, faster boats are skating over the top of the water anyway. When you're looking at something with a heavy, deep draft like a wakeboard boat, and they're designed to do that, they're cruising between 7 and 12 miles an hour. They're not going very fast at all. So it's a motor pushing a lot of weight. And, of course, you know, if you've ever towed anything or anybody out there has ever towed anything, you know your gas mileage gets cut in half based on towing that trailer down the road or that boat or whatever it happens to be behind your truck. So technology in the way that motors are built are always going to evolve, just like everything else. And, you know, just when you think you've seen it all, mm-hmm. the whole thing gets flipped upside down.
Well, we haven't seen electric boats yet.
So. Well, they're right there.
Are they?
Electric jet skis. Wow. Yeah, it's all coming.
Zero emissions.
It's all coming. Well,
I'll be darned. Yeah, there's
can
a debate
air,
on
can
that.
Can we air
too.
Quote that
yes,
zero emissions?
Can. You're smarter than the average bear, aren't you? Wow. So, again, we're talking to Rick Rigler. He is the president of the Havasu Marine Association. How in the heck did that happen again?
Well, I was trying to level off my plate a little bit, and, mm-hmm. and we found somebody that was willing to take on the task. He ran into some things that needed his attention, so the board reached back out to me and asked if I would, especially as we're coming up on the boat show, you know, will you come back aboard and kind of help us through this process? Of course, you know, with all of the literal blood and sweat that we put into this so far, we weren't going to take any chance of not having a successful show or not continuing in a path forward, which, you know, we've experienced some significant growth. We've brought on some staff. I've got two excellent vice presidents, one vice president of operations, Kurt Connor, and he's also with the Mojave County Sheriff's Office Boating Safety Officer Volunteer Program, as well as Coast Guard Auxiliary, and vice president of sales marketing, which is Nikki Brown, who also has a full-time job with the city in Parks and Rec.
How much do you collaborate with the fish caps? That's what I learned the police officers are on the water. That's the nickname for them, fish caps. And Doug Schuster confirmed that, by the way. How much do you collaborate with them?
We've got a great relationship with MCSO, Mojave County, Kyler Cox, Sergeant Cox. And,
good guy.
Yeah, and Travis Vessels with San Bernardino County. We're all in a Safe Waterways Committee group together. Not too much with local PD. They kind of stick to their own little area, and, you know, they do their, kind of the maintenance, keeping the peace there in the channel. Mm-hmm. And most times when we're looking at stuff, we're looking at what's going on outside on the open water.
I got you. What's next for the Marine Association as far as something new? I mean, you've had the bag it in, bag it out.
Yeah,
that's called
pack it in, pack it out.
Pack it in, pack it out. Thank you.
Which has evolved.
It has evolved.
Yeah, it's
in what way?
It's changed. Well, the slogan has changed because what we found out. I think I mentioned this on a prior show. People come from different frames of reference, and not everybody knows what pack it in, pack it out means. So we just, you know, basically said, keep it classy. Don't be trashy. Take your stuff with you.
Is that what
you
it know? Is?
Yeah, it is now.
Keep it classy. Yeah. Don't be trashy.
Yeah, so we're looking to expand that program up into Bullhead and Laughlin. We're at 98 distribution points already in both the California coastline, Arizona coastline, island, shoreline, and several businesses in town that are actually
so north. How far up into Bullhead is that to say that you're going to be the Lower Colorado River Valley Marine Association?
Well, I don't know if they're going to expect
that's a long name.
I don't know that we're going to go that direction, but there's been some interest expressed up in Bullhead, being on the Arizona side, and of course, you know, the opposing side is Nevada. So I think that we can have some impact there. We've expanded the program down into Parker and grown it down there as well. We have an amazing team that handles that program, Bob Bauer and Marie. We affectionately refer to her as the bag lady.
Oh, no. She loves that.
Marie is amazing. Her name is Marie Johnson. She basically handles all of our inventory control, tracking, and distribution on the land-based distribution points. And it was funny because the first time I heard of somebody call her the bag lady, I pictured some 75-year-old woman with her wire shopping cart taking these rolls of 200 bags around to these points.
Not the case, huh?
No, it turns out she's, you know, very able bodied. I think she's still under 30 years old and
does Pilates.
She she would give me a struggle in an arm wrestling contest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man, if your guns are the size of these, but I'm just saying. Now you look like you could hold your own.
I was taught a good work ethic very, very early in life, and that's why I could take off and go up to Shasta with my dad at 12 years old, learn how to drive a boat, pull a skier.
Here's the work ethic that was taught to me. If you're being paid, that makes you a professional. Okay. And being a sports fan, oh, man, okay, Dad, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was taught.
For
so,
sure.
Couple minutes left. What do people need to know about the boat show? What can they bring in? What can't they bring in?
Well, we can't bring in any outside alcohol, of course. We're limiting water bottles. Water will be available inside. There's not really any restrictions where, you know, if you're going to get searched if you bring in an oversized bag. It's a family-friendly event.
What's the best place to get in?
Well, everything is right off of the main gate at Paseo del Sol and London Bridge Road.
Gotcha.
So you'll come into the city parking lot there and enter through the wrought iron gate there. It's a rain or shine event, so we the hours that are posted that we're open, we're going to be open. And we'll, get through. Hopefully the forecast will change a little bit tomorrow for the wind, maybe give us a little bit of a break. But, it's Havasu. We take the less favorable with the amazingness, if that's a word, of living in Lake Havasu City.
Yeah, sure, it is now.
Not everybody gets to do it.
It is now. So it's the 35th annual Lake Havasu Boat Show presented by the Marine Association. Rick Rigler, our guest, he's the president. I have one question. Of course, you always get the last-minute ones, right? And this is via text. And Twisted Traction Marine Flooring checking in, listening while setting up at the boat show now. Should be a great weekend.
It's going to be an amazing weekend, 35 years strong. We're so fortunate for the support of all the businesses in town that support not only the boat show, but the Marine Association as a nonprofit and the projects that we're involved in to do our part to preserve our way of life.
You guys have been getting it done since Jim Salzrider was there. And I have a lot of respect for that organization.
He's an amazing man and, big shoes to fill.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. People still remember the name, so there you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Rick, anything else? Did we miss anything?
I think we
any
covered it all.
Any sponsors you want to toss out there? Anderson?
Yeah, Anderson Twisted Traction is on there. We've got Campbell Cove One Stop on board this year. And, of course, yours truly, Lake Havasu Marine Association. All of our other sponsors that are involved, and really it's a shout-out to everybody that is taking the time to drag their inventory down there, set up a great show, to put that on, to provide an experience for the people that we're fortunate enough to have choose our event, because there's so much going on here all the time. if we get those people and we, you know, we owe them a little something in return.
And these guys are normally at their businesses selling boats on weekends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand totally. Rick, thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, Paul, always.
Rick Rigler stepping up again. He's a great pitch hitter, I'll tell you. No, he did a good job. We're going to take it straight up to the top of the hour. No show tomorrow. It's Friday. I'm going to have fun. No, I'm not taking the day off, but I'm not doing speak out. And this is for you, man. Superman by the Kinks. All right? And everybody have a safe weekend. We'll see you at the Lake Havasu Boat Show. It is tomorrow and...
Tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Perfect. All right. We got to go.
Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.